Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. You guys can take your seats. And you guys can take your seats as well. I talked to the pastor, Ryan's pastor, the executive pastor of the church Ryan goes to, C3 Oxford Falls. And somehow, like, I've got a great relationship with him, and he was saying a few things, and I expressed the concern that I have for the future. And then he came back to me. He said, "Oh, it's not your problem, Dave." He said, "That's future use problem." And it just struck me, right, that, like, it's biblical. I'll come to the scripture in a second, but I thought, you're right. Like, it's not my concern, because it's a fear, which a fear is something coming back from the future and trying to haunt me. And somehow he liberated me by saying, it's not your problem. It's not a problem for present you. It's a problem for future you. Or it's not an issue for present you, it's an issue for future you. And I quite like the sound of that. I like the thought of that, but instantly I knew it was biblical. And it's taken from the scripture, and you would know the scripture from Matthew 6:34. It says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Like, this is Jesus saying, don't. He's got a huge stop sign of every worry that you have, of every anxious thought that you've got. He's got a huge stop sign saying, stop it. Just stop it. You're going in the wrong direction here. He says, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Well, let me pause there and think, that's what a weird thing. Tomorrow will worry about itself. But what the Bible's saying, what Jesus is saying, it's a closed ecosystem. It's closed off from the present. It's got nothing to do with the present. It's a department all on its own. So you're meddling in a department that has nothing to do with you. That somehow it's distracting you from the department that you have a lot to do with. We'll come to that in a few minutes' time. And it says, each day has enough trouble of its own. And if you go back to the previous translations to the King James, it says, each day has enough evil of its own. And, you know, the evil, it's not referring so much to wickedness. It's a word only used once in the New Testament. And it's not referring to accidents or misfortunes. It's referring to the conflict between good and bad. There's enough conflict in today. There's enough battle in today for you to get totally consumed by it without worrying about tomorrow. Today is big enough for you. And if you want to take on tomorrow too, you'll collapse. You'll be stressed out, worn out, wrecked. Because you're taking on far beyond what you can chew. Today is enough. You've got enough on your plate today without talking about your tomorrow. This is the day that God's made. This is the day of the conflict between good and evil, which you've got to contend with. Today you've got to keep the faith. Today you've got to resist temptation. Today you've got to stand tall against the enemy. That'll do. Because most people who are anxious about tomorrow stop defending themselves today from the effects of temptation. They fall into temptation. Their life's miserable because they're worried about tomorrow. And yet God is all over you tomorrow. But he's not over you resisting temptation. That's for you to be all over. It's for you to stand tall. It's for you to stand up against the enemy. See, today's got enough evil. It's got enough conflict. There's enough fight going on for you today without involving poking your nose in what is nothing to do with you. That's what Jesus said. You've got a lot on your plate. So we're here to let tomorrow go. We're here to give it to future you. Future you's better positioned. Future you's slightly older than you. Future you's slightly more mature than you. Future you's a little better positioned. You know, has better perspective than you. And future you has access to tomorrow's promises, which you have no access to. You've forgotten about future you. It's got access to two major promises. The first is Lamentations 3, 22 to 25. In the, I don't know, we'll come up on the NIV, but the ESV I'm going to read. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So his mercies are new every morning. And so in 200 days time, there's a container coming from Calais with new mercies in it. And future me will be opening it up. But you're trying to open up, you're trying to do your future without future mercies. No wonder it's bound you in a small hell hole, because there's promises tomorrow. And if you are so concerned about tomorrow without that container coming from Calais, you'll forget to open up today's container. Because his news, because his mercies right now are new every morning for you. Right now, there's a new container that's come today just for you to help you out so you can stand tall against the enemy, stand in good versus evil. You can have a victorious life today. Through God's mercies, you're new every morning. How good am I preaching? Uh-huh. Got the seal back, the seal of approval. It's what we call it. Sorry. Here all week. Deuteronomy 33:25 says, The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will be equal to your days. So as your days are, so shall your strength be. You're not going to weaken. You're not going to collapse. As your days are, so shall your strength be. There is modules of strength for tomorrow, modules for the day after, modules for the month after, modules for 2020, modules for 2021. Stop pronouncing yourself dead and buried and pronounce yourself alive and active. As my days are, so shall my strength be. I'm not a has been, I'm a will be. I'm on my way to victory. Future you holds that. It's a new day. It's a new bundle of strength that I've received from God. He's a custodian of two huge promises from the Word of God. But the verse I'm going to preach off is the verse before the don't worry, before that huge red stop sign. It's the key verse. It's from Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all of these things, all of this stuff, all that you need, all the things you're worried about, they'll be given to you. Future God meets future you. If you dedicate yourself to the conflicts of today, God will dedicate himself to the provision, your provision for today and tomorrow. Can you see what we've done? Kind of neglected our holiness for the sake of our worries. Well, you can't add a single day to your life by worrying about it. But you can lose a day by worrying about it. It's our role to seek first God and his kingdom. It's his role to deliver all that we need. God presides over your provision. It's not just clothing, it's wisdom, it's power, it's transport, and it's breakthrough. The role of worry is to distract you from your spiritual mandate. It solves nothing but enslaves you. Its role is to take you captive. All of that is under a whole lot of verses, too many to read, but it's not too much for you to read in your devotional life. If you've neglected a devotional life, this is the time to start weeding the garden and sowing seeds into your garden to give future you an easier time. Because God looks after the birds of the field, the flowers of the field, the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, he'll look after you. If you live by faith, obsessed by God and His purposes, you'll give God free access into your physical, emotional, and spiritual treasury. Looks after the birds of the air, looks after the flowers in the field. That's your God. If you seek first God, you give Him access to being God in your world. He's a gentleman. He won't barge into anybody's life. No matter how distressed they are, he'll never barge in. You've got to give God permission. And faith gives God permission to allow that God who looks after the birds of the air to look after everything to do with you. It's your physicality, your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual world. And He's good at it. He's been doing it for a long time now. And He wants to do it for you. If you live by faith, obsessed by God and His purposes, don't rob future you of this legacy by abandoning the responsibilities of present you. You got a job to do, and it only has to do with the next 24 hours. Half of that you're asleep anyway. Depends how old you are. The next 12 hours of today is your responsibility. Beyond that, it has nothing to do with you. It's in the hands of the future God and the future you. If you put the greater good above the good, if you put the greater good above the good, God will put His goodness all over you. If you put the greater good of God and His kingdom and His church and the establishing of His church and the building of holiness within your life and being a light to the world, then God will look after your family's needs and your personal needs. It's an equation that can't be broken. It's an equation set in stone by the Word of God. If you look after His kingdom, He'll look after you. Pity the person who has to look after themselves. My biggest concern for the church is that we're imitating the world. The world's stressed, so we're stressed. The world's anxious, so we're anxious. And I would say my greatest summation is we're copying the world too much. If the world says, hey, I'm miserable and anxious, how are you? I'm miserable and anxious. What's the point of Christ? What? No, seriously, what is the point of Christ? We're a part of the kingdom of God. This is what when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He came out and He said this in Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time onwards, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven comes near. This is an empire. Christ is King. Repent means turn around. This is not just an injection. This is an empire called the Kingdom of God. This is Jesus came to introduce a new empire onto planet Earth called the Kingdom of God. And even while you pray in Matthew 6 verse 9, when Jesus said this is how you ought to pray, you ought to pray, Our Father. Well, I love that as a good start because the world has no father. It at best says our God. But the word God is so ethereal. It's so distant. Father is the closest. Our Father. Who is our Father? He's the one protecting you right now from death and disaster. Who's our Father? He's engraved you on the palm of His hand. Who's our Father? He's the one that cut the covenant with you that will cause every promise to be fulfilled in your life. That's our Father. That's our Father. That's our Father. Standing strong on our behalf. When we barely are able to cling on, He's got us. He's holding on to us. It's cling on for us, but it's hold for Him. That's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Wow. How in worship you. We're doing, we're worshiping, we're introducing this kingdom. Hallowed be your name. Oh my goodness me, the name of God in the Old Testament, the seven principal names for God. Jehovah Jireh, it's your provider. Jehovah Shalom, he's your peace. Jehovah Rapha, he's your healer. Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, he's our companion. Jehovah Nissi, he's our protection. Jehovah Ra, he's our shepherd. And he's in this room right now with all seven faces, giving you the face you need right now. In the New Testament, his name's Jesus, and there's seven principal I ams in the New Testament. So I'm the bread of life. You shouldn't go hungry. I'm the light of the world. You shouldn't live in darkness. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. And I'm the way and the truth and the life. And lastly, I'm the vine. You're the branches. It's not by your strength. It's by his strength in you. And it sums up between the Father and the Son in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says that he'll be called. What will you be called, Lord? Wonderful counselor. You've got a counselor. I've got no problem with earthly counselors, but I have got a problem you forgetting you've already got a counselor. I've got a big problem with that. Big, big, big problem. Problem. You've got a wonderful counselor. You've got someone that actually speaks to you wisdom through his word. Don't neglect that. Don't ever neglect that over an earthly counselor. Earthly counselors are good. They're a bit muddy because they're only a human themselves. Duh. It's not going to be pure. It's going to be fairly good at best. It's through human, through a human. God is direct to you, that not through human. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace and of the greatness of his government. The greatness of this kingdom, there shall be no end. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Welcome to the kingdom of God. It's already begun on planet Earth. It's already begun. And if you want to know the truth, you're not going to trottle off to heaven, some mythical, mysterious place up there. Heaven will be on earth. If you want to know what the Bible says, it says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will dominate the earth. We'll be living on a new earth, a new earth. The kingdom has begun. The tsunami's about to come, but the kingdom has already begun. You're a part of the most victorious, the most incredible kingdom the world has ever seen. You have to count your lucky stars. Exhausted preaching to you. So let's get back to the greater good. Now, let's do the equation. The good is seeing our families blessed and seeing our needs looked after. How many needs have you got? Well, you've got a gigantic amount of needs. That's good, and that's God's concern. But the greater good is what we need to get back to see his kingdom come, establishing his church. That's this church. Just pinch you slightly. It's this church. It's not Stephen, what's his name's church. It's not Brian, what's his face's church. It's this church. This is the kingdom of God. This is where it happens. This is where we put our very best efforts into growing stronger in him and being the light of the world. I'll take a slight diversion for, like, this might bore you slightly, right? But there's four main concerns that you have. And the first concern is things that are utterly, utterly impossible. And when you think about them, they make you sad. And every one of us have issues that if you contemplate on it for too long, they will depress you. And the problem at times with praying about it is you should have stopped praying long ago. You should have moved into praise. Because you start to pray, by the end of your half hour prayer meeting, you feel worse than you did before you prayed. Which proves to me you should have stopped praying. There's impossible things within you that you need to now praise God, he's got it. Praise God, it's in the back. Praise God, his word is undoable. Praise God and trust in God over that issue. Otherwise, that issue will consume you and you'll get gradually unholier. You'll miss the will of God because you're so concerned with this one solitary impossible issue. Every one of us in this room have a solitary impossible issue. If you let that dominate your life, you'll backslide. You've got to give it to God. You've got to praise God over it. You've got to learn to trust God. And part of stopping praying and moving to a different kind of prayer, and that's praise, is the right psychology for it. All of us are struck by aloneness. Each of us are susceptible to feeling like we've been left out, abandoned, and forgotten about. All of us. How often do you feel abandoned? Well, I'd say you every second day. It's a universal feeling. Feeling on the shelf, feeling that nobody loves us. You're going to have to share with God in prayer over that, because that's a very intimate part of you. You can't just bulldog your way through life without sharing just these little tinges of rejection, these little tinges of being forgotten about. You're going to have to involve God, because he says, I can sympathize with you. I know what it's like to be abandoned. I know what it's like to feel left on the shelf. I can sympathize with you. And then you're going to have to declare the promises of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, he who began a good work in your life will be faithful to finish it. Well, why is that a great scripture? It's because you feel like it'll stop at some stage. You feel like that's the end. That's the end. I'm now pushed to the side. And yet God says, no, we only just begun this. Because we've begun this, I'll be faithful every single day until this thing concludes. You're not on the shelf. The third biggest concern is our frustrations. Doors that should have opened that haven't, people that should have stood with you but haven't. It's your season to make a list right now to God, saying, God, here's a whole stack of stuff that frustrates me. Don't include that one area of healing that's impossible. Just trust God over that. Otherwise, it'll consume you. Just drop it. Trust God. Throw it to God. Now you've got a whole bag full of frustrations, partly to do with the kingdom of God, partly to do with your own worries. Make a list. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing but in everything you're potentially worried about, by prayer and petition. And then so you don't get depressed while you're praying, mix it with thanksgiving and present your requests to God. And what's going to happen to you? Here's the promise for every one of you in this room. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, and oh my goodness me, welcome to the kingdom of God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Welcome to the kingdom of God. This is it. To those who intercede, to those who pray, to those who bring a Tesco shopping list to God, he comes with his massive peace. It stills your heart. You don't understand it because there's been a cohort of fear against your life. It's been building and all of a sudden it's crushed because you involved God by getting involved in the kingdom of God. And lastly, it's the what ifs. What if everything collapses? What if I die? What if they die? What if there's no breakthrough? He's your tomorrow God. So stop being anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Be disciplined. Take off your doubts and disbelief and put on the new man of faith and expectancy. That's it. It's all your concerns. Concern for loneliness, a concern for one huge issue, a concern for a whole shopping list of stuff, and a concern for the what ifs. There's an answer to every one of your emotional concerns. You're going to have to involve God. You're going to have to seek first God and his kingdom. And all of these things will be added unto you. How about the keyboard player coming up? I think it's Joe. I'm in love with this last scripture. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths. Oh, my goodness me. Have nothing to do with half of what modern psychology is bringing forth nowadays. Have nothing to do with it. It's not true. It's based on murkiness of a lack of understanding and the lack of light from heaven and God's word. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. And the King James, it says, profits little. It's an old wives' tale that says that you need to be physically fit. That puts a full stop after it. Still going to hell. Still racked with anxiety. Still messed up by Satan. You got a good body. Sometimes vegan. Sometimes not. You got a great body, mate. Let's take a look into your spirit. Oh, what barrenness. What are those vultures in your spirit? See, it says have nothing to do with old wives' tales. The world is all about physical fitness. The Bible says physical fitness profits hardly anything. Can I just say that to everyone here? Hardly anything. Just a little. I mean, it keeps you alive for another 7 years. But I mean, even that, I mean, most people die at 25, they're buried at 75. You know, so what's, you know what I mean? What's, you're going to add another 5 years of hellish living just because you're fit. Oh my goodness me. Am I preaching the truth here this morning, church? Spiritual exercise profits only a little. So stop saying, oh, I need to do some more exercise. No, no, you need to get spiritually fit. That's what has value. Stop saying, oh, I need to go on a diet. No, no, you need to go on a spiritual diet. Stop watching that crap. Just stop it. It's doing you no good at all. You're so obsessed with your diet. Oh, I'm going another diet now. Holidays over. No. No, don't make that your priority. Keep eating slosh. Start with the spirit. See old wives' tales. Start with the body, finish with the body. And try and get happy. Well, you're not going to be happy if there's vultures in your spirit. Oh, I wish I could preach this every day to you. The world's very strong with this Oprah doctrines. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, I cannot tell you how evil her doctrine is to take God out, to take Jesus out. Take Jesus out of central stage. How do you know when something's not right? When Jesus has moved 5 foot to the left, it's when you know it's not right. I'm not anti-religious. I'm not anti-religions of the world. I'm just anti anything and anyone who moves Christ slightly to the left. You gotta beware. Godless chatter. Endless myths. They're not here to serve you. They're here to serve themselves. They're part of a capitalistic society. It says, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life, the present you, and the life to come, the future you. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is our Savior of all people, especially to those who believe. Finish on my second concern for the Church of the Living God. Stop imitating the world and looking for a chilled and charmed existence. There's no such thing as a chilled and charmed existence. Stop it. Stop trying to just chill through life. We're not taking the brunt of this. God's taking the brunt of this, but we're still yoked to the oxen of Jesus Christ. We're still doing our part of the battle, even though the battle belongs to God. We're not here to live a stress-free life. The Bible tells us to redirect our stress to the greater good. It says, this is why we labor and strive. How's it going? Well, I'm laboring and striving. What on earth are you doing? Well, I'm doing it because of the kingdom of God. I'm laboring and striving, trying to get spiritually fit here. That's what I'm doing. Well, you ought to be stress-free. No, I ought to direct my stress. I'm going to direct my stress off the worries of tomorrow and direct it on to the kingdom of God. I'm going to labor and strive. labor and strive in the gymnasium of holiness. I'm going to labor and strive against the temptations of the devil. I'm going to sweat it out. I'm not going to chill it out. I'm going to sweat it out. Some of you let the devil in the back door and the front door. Sweat it out. Labor and strive to be strong in God. Pick up the weights of responsibility. Come into the gym of the kingdom, the gym of holiness. Here, creating spiritual muscle, conquering fears, building the church, touching the world.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.